On this episode, I talk with an agency owner who started in 1999, has grown to a multi-million dollar agency, and we talk about how direct marketing and branding has changed over the years and how we need to mesh them up. Really cool episode. I think you're going to enjoy it. Hey, Grant, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on, but before we jump into the show, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm Grant Johnson. I am the founder and owner of Responsory, Johnson Direct Company, which is headquartered in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I have been a measurable marketer since 1999. I've been a measurable marketer since the 80s. In 1999, I decided to start this shop based on nobody really doing measurable marketing the right way, figuring out how to test and all that kind of good stuff. I worked for a shop as a VP of development. I didn't like the direction he was heading, so I thought, well, let's try this on our own and see how we can do. And here we are over 20 years later. We've been blessed.
Very cool. And so talk about kind of the first job in the 80s, you know, working as the VP. Like, what were you doing? Was it just like direct mail or what were you doing?
You're a smart guy, Jace. Yeah, direct mail. So the agency really was a direct mail agency. And when I got involved with the direct marketing scene, really direct mail back then, it was very interesting. And I quickly learned that there were probably about 50 to 100, probably closer to 50 real key influencers and decision makers. And being young and naive, I thought, hey, I'm going to talk to all these people, good, bad, otherwise. Reached out to, that was a real, I always say it was my PhD in learning, talking to all these old pros, names that some people might know, Herschel Gordon Lewis, Dick Benson, Ray Judkins, of course, David Ogilvie, who anybody in advertising and marketing would know, was a big proponent of direct response marketing. So, you know, that's really, really how I got my start and tried to learn and become a passionate student of direct marketing. And as things evolved into today, nobody was really doing direct mail 10 years ago. It had just pretty much fallen off the radar screen. And then one day I actually was in my office praying and I had an epiphany or a word from God that said, digital, digital, digital. And I thought, well, you know, it's weird that I'm getting this message because everybody's doing this digital stuff and it's all so cool and different. And when I sat back and started to analyze and realize that digital is really a more comprehensive, fast way of doing direct marketing, it changed the whole nature of everything we do because classic direct marketing or direct mail is predicated on a database, testing, and ongoing learning. So really everything from email forward follows that same suit. You have data, you have analytics, and of course things have just gotten crazy with ROI today. So I think as a classic direct marketer, it puts us in a pretty good seat. But of course, I pay myself to think that way.
That's right. Well, I always tell people too, I'm like, you have to think you're the best because if you don't think you're the best, why would anybody else? Why would people pay you?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly right. If you don't think that you have a niche or a difference or are the best at what you do, then why do it? There's way too many also-rans in this business. And unfortunately, if you look at how advertising professionals are viewed by business professionals, we're actually a step lower than used car salesmen. And I think it's because a lot of times folks will tell people what they want to hear as opposed to what they really need.
Yeah, I would always tell our sales team at the agency is you have to sell what they need, not what you want to sell them. Yep. Like, you know, and that was always a challenge with people when they're like, when, you know, they're hearing us barking orders like, hey, you're not even close to your quota, right? Yeah. They're going to do what they need to do to survive, you know, and it's a kind of a broken model. But, you know, when I was doing the agency, we weren't really very good at direct marketing. And, you know, we were good at user experience and technology. So, you know, when I sold my agency and I started checking out some of the people that were known for direct marketing, and I was like, oh my God, like if I could bridge these two.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up. So in 99, when I started this firm Responsory, I had this vision or this thought that on the left, if you look at a chart, if you're going to visually take your left hand, put it up and put your right hand on each side of your ears, what was happening back in 99 was you had brand advertising on the left and direct marketing on the right, and they weren't converging. And it's like, oh, I'm really into branding. Oh, I'm really into direct marketing. And they were totally different. And my thought was that the two would converge. And March 1st, 99, I started the agency with that premise. And actually, 6 months prior to me starting the agency, a small firm in California had started in September of 98, which made that true. And that firm today is known as Google. And Google has transformed the advertising and marketing and everything we do, of course. But again, if you look back, it's really everything today is really about ROI and is really a form of direct marketing. So with that convergence comes the ability to enhance and grow your brand, but also do so in a measurable way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've grown this brand a couple different ways. And actually, the direct marketing has actually helped me faster, but the other stuff with branding has actually provided more trust and more credibility behind of it. And it kind of, it just meshes together. Because, you know, when you look back at the direct mail days, right? Like, I remember we were one of the first agencies to do pearls, if you know it, like
personalized URLs. Yeah, personalized URLs, yep.
And we did this for a company called Singular, which is now AT&T. Mm-hmm. And I remember we did this direct mail ad, and it got, I think, a 10% response rate from like 20,000 mail outs. And it had their phone number in it. So everybody's like, you created a website?
Yeah.
And they go to it. And I remember from there, I'm like, oh man, it's just getting like, getting someone's attention and making them do a particular action.
Yep.
And it was just really cool. So what have you really seen that works really well in the past that still works really well now? Because I don't think too many things, like what's worked back in the past still works now, but it's just a different, you know, a lot more technology behind it.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I would say what works from the past that works today is, if you want to use a sports analogy, basic blocking and tackling. And by that, I mean, if you look at campaigns, I would say the ones that we analyze or the clients that we talk with and then eventually end up doing work with, I would venture to say that well over 90% don't do any type of segmentation, whether it's a consumer campaign, a B2B campaign, and you're going to have all sorts of different wants, needs, thoughts, things like that. You can break it down into specific categories like millennials versus boomers versus Xers or things like that. But I would say understanding that there's going to be different messaging, different offers, different needs and wants based on different audiences. And today you can get to that stuff pretty quick with digital, with paid digital and SEO and combining those two and really determine what's working and how segments are breaking out. So I would say that's one thing we see very commonly, which is looking at your audience still as a homogeneous group as opposed to understanding that there's different needs based on, oh geez, as many different criteria as you can imagine. That's one of the key things.
I want to take a minute and tell you about our sponsor. And actually, the sponsor is actually one of my vendors that I love and my bookkeeper loves. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially for a small business. You don't have the time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations. And the old school payroll providers just aren't built the way to work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. The modern technology does all the heavy lifting, so it's easy to get things right. It really makes payroll a breeze. In fact, 9 out of 10 users say it makes it easier to use than other payroll solutions. And like I always tell you, time is the most valuable asset. You know, most businesses don't have an HR expert, but you don't need one to use Gusto. With this great software and great service, you can focus on running your business and not the payroll and paperwork. You no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and a great service for your team. Now, to help support the show, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited time deal. Sign up today and you'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/agency, and Gusto is spelled gusto.com/agency. Well, that's a huge problem with everything, right? Like a lot of agencies I chat with on a daily basis, they struggle with lead gen. They struggle with scaling to the next level. And I go, okay. And they're like, they want to go over this strategy for getting them more leads. And I'm like, but we got to kind of reset. Like, how could we go after your minimal viable smallest audience and really segment based on that? And they're like, whoa, we're going to miss out on all this stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to miss out. I'm like, you're already missing out.
Right.
You're about to go out of business.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really, really good point, Jason. It's quality versus quantity. I mean, and I think, again, you see so many firms that try to be everything to everybody, and that just doesn't work today. You have to, we had this discussion before we started the chat here, but you know, what's your niche? What are you good at? What are you not good at? And just being honest and upfront with people. So for instance, people come to me and say, hey, what are you good at and what aren't you good at? And I say, we're good at measurable tactics. We are not good at buying general broadcast media. If you want that, we are not the firm to work with you. And you'd be surprised how many people are like, wow, I can't believe you're telling me that. Yeah, because that's not what we do. And can I do it? Yes. Can I do it as well as somebody else? Absolutely not. So you got to be upfront and understand what you're good at and what your niche is and go from there. And like you, I've had some success with some big clients, and it's simply because our stuff works. And, you know, it's fun to have people think differently about advertising and marketing in the sense of, boy, this really does make me money. It doesn't cost me money.
Yeah. And it's hard to really kind of separate yourself, you know, from all the Me Too businesses out there. And you know, like, for example, like this weekend, you know, I was telling you, every summer we go out to Colorado, and I was like, I need to get new hiking shoes. So I go in and I start looking at Nikes, right? Well-known brand, but Nike has shoes for everything. And this one guy's like, no, these are the shoes you need. I've never heard of these shoes, but they're the most amazing shoes. I tried them on. I'm like, you know, I would have never bought it if they weren't specialized.
Yeah.
They were like the best. I don't know the name of it, so bad branding, but it was the difference between Nike, this huge brand, this $1 billion or close to probably a $1 trillion brand that puts out more advertising than anybody. But I went with this little company because they were specialists.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that could be your separator. And also too, a lot of times people look at and go, like, we'll go around the room, and like whenever I run mastermind groups or have agency owners in the room, I always go, hey, tell us who you are. And everybody always wants to say, oh, I'm so-and-so with ABC agency, and oh, we're small, and we're only like 10 people. I'm like, you should be proud of that. Like, that's a huge advantage. You know, I talk to some agencies that are 1,000, and they have so many struggles. They have different struggles, but they can't move on a dime like you.
That's exactly right. There is a shift. Of course, I'm biased in my thinking, but there is a shift towards smaller, more nimble shops that can get things done. And for as odd as this sounds, and you probably experienced some of this before you sold your place, our best client is actually one that works with us and leaves. Because once they leave, they find out, oh my gosh, they really did service the heck out of me. They really did give me value. And, you know, I think that's what people want today, because they're getting, you know, the clients are getting pressure from the board, from the CEO, from the CMO, from everybody saying, hey, what's working? What's not working? Why is this campaign taking 6 months? I can honestly tell you that we have never had a client in 20 plus years that we could not move faster than. And I always laugh when they say, well, how fast can you move this stuff along? And I'm like, faster than you can get approval. And that's the way it is. But you're right. I mean, I think people should be proud of their size. And today with resources, look, I mean, we're here talking nationally, you know, one end of the country to the other, right? And technology has made so much possible so fast. And it's all about the great idea, executing it, and getting the ROI through testing. And that's really the basic premise of everything that we do.
If you had to go back to yourself when you were, let's say, around under the million mark, you were doing it for a while, you were under the million mark, but you wanted to get to the multi-million dollar mark and over, what would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself the same thing that you alluded to earlier, which is try not to be everything to everybody, because I think that was a growing process for us. I think understanding what you're really great at, not good at, what you're really great at, and then defining that greatness, understanding how big the audience is, and then going after that niche in a smart, tactical way that's based on, strategic way that's based on really implementing great tactics. That's what I would tell myself is, you know, don't bother to chase the golden goose. Go after the things that you do well and the rest of it will fall into place. That's a really good question.
Yeah, I remember when our agency went in turmoil and I wanted to quit. I literally got to a point where I was going to go, I was applying for a position at NASCAR. And I remember them asking me two questions. What do you want to do every day? And what don't you never want to do ever again? And I never... And
that's your mistake. You should have won IndyCar.
I know. Yeah, the Midwest. I like Indy. I watched it 2 weeks ago, right? I watched it. Love it. But by answering those questions of what I never want to do, I could say no. And then I could figure out, go, I can go delegate. And just extreme focus. Like if I could go back and tell myself over again, extreme focus on what you want to do and have a reason behind it. Like what's that belief? Like I always tell everybody, what we want to do here is create a resource we wish we had. So that's why we're a media company for agency owners that want more. Now we're not going after every agency owner. Like that's stupid, right? Because some agency owners are happy and they're happy with where they're at. So good. You don't need me. Stop listening to the podcast. Right. But if you want more and you want to hear other people's stories, then cool. Continue to listen and subscribe and all that kind of stuff. So
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that's the biggest lesson. I think as, you know, it's true. Wisdom comes with age, right? What's that saying? You know, you got all this energy and ideas when you're young, but you don't have the wisdom and you wish you could combine the two. But yeah, I mean, really understanding and carving out a niche if you don't have one and sticking with it is the key. Persistence is really the most important thing in this game, I think, and belief in what you do and how you do it. And that's what you had talked about as well earlier. And I could not agree more with that statement. It's you have to believe that you are the best and you do it better than anybody else. And if you don't, get out of the game.
Yeah. And you mentioned another thing, persistence. And I think consistency, like a lot of people go, they'll listen to the show. They'll be like, all right, Grant, Jason, cool. I'll pick a niche. And a month later, they're like, oh, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about years. Like we're talking about years here.
Yeah.
Not months. So
very true.
Well, this has all been great, Grant. Is there anything I did not ask you that you think would benefit the audience?
Well, again, I would just say the only other thing is we didn't touch on it too much, but again, testing and failure is not a bad thing as long as it's not catastrophic. So always work into your campaign some crazy idea that's not going to bankrupt things. And it could turn out to be just an amazing success. It could be a failure. But again, if it's a failure, that's okay. As long as you can learn from it and apply it to what you're doing moving forward, you're going to have success. So you asked me some awesome questions, and I really do want to thank you for your time today.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. What's the website where people can check you out?
It's responsory.com, responsory.com, responsory.com.
Awesome. Well, go check it out. If you guys and gals like this episode, go to your little app of however you're listening to us and hit that little share button and send a text, send an email to someone that you know that this could actually help. You'll be helping them out. And until next time, have a swank day.